Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander, Ed producing and engineering our show today, and we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, April the 14th, 2015. Hope you're having a good day. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and just as importantly, we live stream the show, so you can hear the program really anywhere in the world, as long as you're by a computer, at kvoi.com or on my website, buckmastershow.com. That is also the place on my website for all of our shows. All of them are podcast. They're available 24/7, so you can check it out anytime. We've got all of the shows, pretty much every show we've done over the past 4 years and a couple of months. Today, we're going to be talking about one of Tucson's most important industries, tourism. Then about 12:20, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley is in Rome, and if all goes well, we'll be hearing from him calling us from the Eternal City in a few minutes. At 12:30, State Senator David Bradley will join us, and then we'll wrap up the show with Kevin Dahl. Kevin is the Senior Program Manager for the Arizona Field Office of the National Parks Conservation Association. National parks are such a big part of tourism here in Arizona, and they're really hurting right now. The parks, the maintenance that has been deferred over the years, we're talking really in the billions of dollars, and it's a big tourism player, certainly with the Grand Canyon and all of our national monuments and parks around the Tucson area. The live line number, 790-2040. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Brent Durad joins us now. Brent, the head of Visit Tucson, and tourism and national parks are a huge component, aren't they, Brent?
Oh, they absolutely are. And good afternoon, Bill.
Good to see you.
Yeah. And what we take a look at is especially the outdoor adventure recreation. When we talk to customers and we do our surveys and ask why they come to Tucson, those outdoor spaces, being able to get people out to Saguaro National Park and other parks in the region, it's really crucial for us.
And with part of the whole new branding with Visit Tucson, which was rolled out, how many months ago?
A couple of years ago already.
A couple of years ago. Speaking of anniversaries, congratulations to you. This week, actually, your three-year anniversary already heading up tourism here in southern Arizona. But when the Visit Tucson was rolled out, many of the images were outdoors.
No question. You know, I think previously we had really kind of focused on that resort, spa sector, a little bit of golf as well. And those are certainly, I think, very viable products for us today. But what we talked to, in terms of customers, we heard very clearly from them that they come here for these wide open spaces. They want to get out, and a lot of times they want to recreate, hiking, cycling, being able to experience the outdoors. And when they talk about the desert in Tucson versus maybe even some other places here throughout the state, you know, just the elevation change here, it gives it a lot more greenery, if you will, and just much more to see and do.
The citizen-led Pima County Bond Advisory Committee, they have assembled a draft bond package. Tourism and economic development infrastructure, a very important part of that. We're going to see some road repair money, certainly, as part of the bond program that the supervisors will either give a thumbs up or thumbs down to. But if they do go ahead with it, how big a package are we talking about with tourism, Brent?
What we're looking at right now, Bill, it's probably going to be about an $800 million total package of that. We think that tourism directly would be about $100 million of that package, but we would certainly benefit from many other components, including the road repairs as well.
Can you give us an idea of some of the tourism-related items that might be on that in the bond package?
There's certainly several of the different museums out there. We take a look at Old Tucson, Pima Air and Space Museum, Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, Children's Museum of Tucson. They're among that group. Also, you look at the restoration of Pima County's old courthouse. They're talking about adding a January 8th memorial to that. And then one of the things that we're certainly excited about as well is a downtown theaters package. So being able to upgrade the Leo Rich, Tucson Music Hall. There's an ECBO landscape out there that we think is very viable. And there's also a regional visitor center that would be part of this package. And then we would work with Western National Parks Association to help operate that if it's constructed.
Would that be very close to I-10, that orientation center?
It is. In fact, it would be just on the west side of Interstate 10, right near the terminus of the Tucson streetcar at this point. So we think it'd be a great spot.
You know, I think that is so important, folks coming through Tucson, rather than having to exit and to go downtown. Not that it wouldn't be worth their while, but if you have something right very accessible on an off-ramp off of I-10, I think we'd all be big winners in that respect.
We think it'd be very accessible, but then also, you know, the facility that's being contemplated, there would be a theater in there, for example, so that we could actually show and tell the history of Tucson and Southern Arizona. And we would really want it to be a scenario where people didn't stay that long. We want them to come, educate themselves, and then get out, explore, and spend some money.
So let's talk about tourism as we wrap up our winter season. As we go in now to what has traditionally been a slower time of year here for tourism, how did we do during our prime time?
You know, it's I'm thrilled to be here and report good news. What we're looking at is, in fact, the last 2 months, January, February. January revenue was up 11% for the hotels. February, it was up 9%. And that's significant because February is our top tourism month. And so obviously with Jim's show, you take a look at Major League Soccer preseason in Tucson. We had some very good events out there as well. Even in January being up 11%, when we look at you know, the inaugural Tucson Jazz Festival, for example, Yvonne Irvin and that crew, they did just a wonderful job. So the events, I think, are very important to us, and we're off to a great start so far in 2015.
And as far as a downtown hotel, it's been talked about a new downtown hotel for many, many years, decades. How is that progressing?
You know, right now, I think there's been a slight delay in terms of the groundbreaking for the AC Marriott, but Scott Steitler, you know, he's committed to downtown. I think it's going to be a great project. And also just the job that Fletcher McCusker and Rio Nuevo that they've done, it's been remarkable. Working with Alan Norville, this NorGen project that would be just off the freeway, we would really love to see that constructed. Some exhibition space, a museum that would be operated by U of A, hopefully another hotel or two within that that project as well. But we're very excited. Downtown has become a real strength for Tucson.
We have lagged behind the rest of the major cities in the country in recovering from the recession, and that has been reflected as well in your industry, in tourism, hasn't it?
It has. You know, we've really struggled for a variety of reasons. You know, some of it has been probably imposed through the state. Senate Bill 1070 was something that kept a lot of groups from wanting to meet, not just in Tucson, but throughout the state of Arizona. Specifically to Tucson, though, you know, I think air service has probably been one of the bigger issues that we've been facing, and it seems like there's finally some momentum to make some changes there as well.
Yeah, and you're part of a group that's kind of pooling resources to try to get some nonstop service to the East Coast, correct?
That's correct. We're working you know, the credit goes to the Tucson Metro Chamber, along certainly with the Tucson Airport Authority for making those inroads. But the Chamber, they're trying to assemble a group of community organizations that could come up with about $3 million. What that would do, it would be a revenue guarantee or a backstop, if you will, to create daily nonstop round-trip service between Tucson and New York. It looks like if we can generate that $3 million, United Airlines would look to redeploy an existing aircraft and then provide that daily nonstop service. Numbers show that you know, they certainly could fill it on a round-trip basis every day between Tucson and New York.
And as we've talked about with Dick Grunzel of the Tucson Airport Authority, who will be with us for our quarterly Tucson Air Service update on Thursday, we've talked about the fact that for airlines now to commit to a city with nonstop service, you really have to offer some kind of incentive.
You know, the dynamics in that airline industry have really changed. You know, we all think back to, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 years ago, and you look at the number of airlines that not only were running deficits but filing bankruptcies. You know, now, with all the consolidation within the industry, they hold the cards, and they can control the financial dynamics. If you want to get a flight, what you're having to do is guarantee revenue so that they can make more money flying from your city to whatever destination you're looking for than they can in terms of the existing flight, what they're using that plane for. So a different competitive landscape, but we're going to hope to generate that $3 million fund. If traffic is as strong as we think it will be and the revenue is as strong between Tucson and New York, we won't have to tap that fund, and then we can use that fund to go maybe get new flights into places like, you know, Boston, Toronto, Hermosillo, Albuquerque, and probably Western Canada as well.
And if we can get visitors to even spend one additional night, a lot of visitors, of course, international fly and nonstop service from Europe into Phoenix, if we can get them to come down to Tucson even for a day, it's a big deal.
No question about it. And that's what we find that is, especially with Western Europe, you know, their holiday, if you will, or vacation, they'll typically, if we can get somebody from Europe here, the stay is almost always longer than a week. And yeah, that customer is certainly worth more to us than, you know, people from shorter haul destinations.
So we had numbers that were looking good, Brent Durad, for the winter season. As far as hotels, Tucson, when you look at it, we're still a real buy for visitors. There's no, I mean, you can stay at a world-class resort here for a fraction of what it would cost you in some other vacation destinations.
And that's very true. I guess it's a selling point, but we would certainly love to see some of those rates go up, especially during our peak season. As we take a look at Metro Phoenix, a lot of the resorts up there were getting $400 to $500 a night during peak season. Again, they had a Super Bowl and some other things happening up in Metro Phoenix. But what happens is, when they're able to command that rate, it creates compression down here. Tucson looks like a comparative bargain, and even if we can get our rates up, I'm talking resorts peak season, $250, $300 a night, we're still a bargain, but that's a considerable leap from where we are currently.
How's the summer? Are you going to have some incentives as well for the summer season?
A lot of the hotels and resorts already have their summer packages put together. They're starting to market those. I think we're going to have an outstanding summer. One area where Tucson really benefits is there's a lot of Arizona Association business, a lot of associations, government, that type of thing, located in Phoenix that end up coming to Tucson for meetings. We have some really sizable meetings coming to Tucson this summer. I think we're going to have one of the better summers we've had in a long time.
They can escape the heat for maybe 10 degrees cooler from Phoenix.
Yeah. And they notice it, and yeah. It is a selling point.
Brent Durad from Visit Tucson, good to see you, celebrating his third year anniversary here in the Old Pueblo after coming down from Scottsdale, where he did a great job up there. Brent, thanks a lot, and all the best to you.
Bill, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, we'll be going to Rome, Italy. Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, is on the live line from Rome. We'll be talking to Shelley where it is, oh my goodness, it's almost bedtime. Well, in Rome, they stay up pretty late anyway, but late into the evening. Let's go to Shelley after this. We'll be right back.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The ocean. Tucsonans see it as a summer escape, but our oceans are more than that. How do overfishing and coastal pollution ripple into our lives? What are the impacts of ocean acidification? At the University of Arizona Biosphere 2, we're learning how oceans and the desert are linked. Explore our desert sea this April for Earth Month activities at Biosphere 2 and find us online at biosphere2.org.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves. Shelly Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And it is time for Shelly Fishman, 12:21 in Tucson and 9:21 in the evening in Rome, Italy, where Shelly is reporting in on the live line. Shelly, how is your European trip going so far?
European trip is going great, Bill. I have to correct you, I'm not in Rome. We've moved to Florence, or as the
Italians too bad.
It ends. I know.
Too bad.
the capital of Renaissance art.
Oh my goodness. We had some news out of Europe, I believe, yesterday about some concern over the Greek markets.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's not doing much in terms of grabbing headlines here in Europe. Of course, the Brits are worried about it. But what we're not hearing is a great deal of concern. What we're hearing is, oh, more of the same. Every year we get another problem with the Greeks. We get it fixed and move on to the next crisis. The Europeans, you know, what we hear in the U.S., especially from the more conservative, talking heads, is that the European system is not capable of sustaining itself, that the cost of government is too high, that the European view of the social contract makes the economies unstable. Well, the Europeans don't agree with that, and they don't listen to it much. So all of the talk about Greece bringing down the euro and, you know, being able to destroy the European economies, it just is nothing that you hear here at all. What you hear here is country by country detailed concerns about what they're doing, how they're doing vis-a-vis their trading partners, and what's working and what isn't. One of the things that was just so completely obvious last week in Rome was the volume of crowds. If you're an American in Italy right now, you have the best of all worlds. Mm-hmm. It's cheap, the dollar is almost at parity, and everything is seemingly affordable. The tourist volume in Rome last week seemed to me as high as I'd ever seen it. When you talk to the Romans, however, they said it was down 15%. In moving to Florence, I can tell you that there are, you know, what seem to be a gazillion tourists here, but they're not spending money, and the restaurants that open, you know, typically at around 7 o'clock in the evening for a couple of hours for supper, are largely empty. Hmm. And in talking to people about what's going on, they say, you know, the past 5 years has brought around about tremendous changes in tourist behavior. There's some discussion that the increase in use of apartments rather than hotel rooms has created a problem for the restaurant industry because people stay home at night and cook.
Interesting.
Stuff that I just hadn't expected to hear.
And we're hearing so much about that with these B&Bs that are... Airbnb is one that comes to mind, and I really hadn't thought about how that could be affecting the hotels and the restaurants.
Well, nor had I. I can tell you that in Rome, I stayed in an apartment, mm-hmm. and here in Florence, I'm in an apartment. So maybe it's hurting the restaurants a little bit, but I can tell you that the grocery store down the corner is happy as can be because, you know, I'm buying things like milk and orange juice and coffee and paper towels and stuff you need to kind of, you know, be your own person in you know, for a week in a foreign city. I also got to speak to some people in the oil business, some Canadians who were moving from north of Calgary and were reestablishing their businesses elsewhere because they're finally beginning to feel the impact of the lower price of oil and the difficulty that the tar sands industry in Calgary is having with being able to extract oil when the price of the barrel is down at $40 or $50. So that's the first time I really had somebody say, it's that bad that we're closing down and moving.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that northern Alberta there, where they're Alberta, Canada, with the oil fields, really they've had huge layoffs up there, and there are some environmental concerns as well. So that industry is really hurting up there.
Absolutely. And just the impacts of the lower price of oil in Dakota and South Dakota. And yet, you know, just today, the markets are up nicely based on the price of some oil stocks that seem to be recovering over the last day or two. So it's very hard to pick up a trend, but clearly the lower price of oil is having its impacts across the economy. And therefore, for investors, you have to be very, very careful and choose very carefully how you get into that, if that is in fact the kind of thing that you want to have in your mix or allocation.
Shelley Fishman with us on the live line from Florence, Italy. And, you know, the energy sector may be a buy right now. What do you think about that, Shelley?
Well, I've seen some articles saying just that. You know, the idea that bulls make money and bears make money, but pigs never do. The idea that you can buy into the not exploration so much, but the production end of the oil business at very depressed prices right now, you know, can be very attractive. I don't call that investing, Bill. I call it gambling. but you know, sometimes gambling, at least with a portion of what your portfolio has available, you know, could be a very interesting play. I'm not an expert in that, and so I don't want my clients to call me and say, you know, buy me some oil. On the other hand, for those people who study it carefully and can give it the time that it needs to really understand what's up, what's down, what's potentially going to recover, it might be an interesting opportunity.
All right, Shelley, we're going to let you go here in a second so you can get back to your evening in Florence. I assume you were talking the last time a week ago when you're in Rome, you said it was rather chilly. Spring weather has finally arrived up there?
Absolutely. Europe in general is feeling the onslaught of spring, and Italy in particular is having just a gorgeous, gorgeous week. We're having, you know, nights in the low 50s and days in the mid 70s, and you know, when the humidity is as it is in normal places, not like Tucson, the mid 70s feels just fine. Yeah. And we're looking for that for kind of the rest of the week. And the other thing that I can report to you is the gelato in Rome seems to be better than the gelato in Florence, but only marginally.
Okay. Shelley, thank you very much. And we will look forward to your call next Tuesday. Folks can find you.
From Milan.
Yes. From Milan. All right, Shelley. Thank you very much. We can find you on my website at buckmastershow.com. Have a great evening, Shelley. Thank you.
You too, Bill. Bye-bye.
Okay. Shelley Fishman with us on the live line with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Calling in from Florence, Italy next week. Shelley is off to Milan. Right now it's 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. Talk politics with State Senator David Bradley. That's coming up next on Buckmaster.
For general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
It's spring cleaning time once again. This year, you can offer a fresh start to someone in your community and a fresh start for your stuff. Goodwill is accepting donations of clothes, electronics, and household items. The revenues from your gently used items will fund job training and community-based services to people here in Southern Arizona. So while you get yourself and your home off to a fresh start this spring, you'll be helping someone else nearby do the same. More information is available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Five-star Termite and Pest Control reminds you of their patented foaming treatment with an onomatopoeia poem. Termites, oh termites, why must you eat? The homes of Tucson shall not be your treat. Five star, will your foam help protect? It certainly will, your walls will inject. Foaming your home will get rid of them snappy. Termites go away and our customers happy. Call Five Star, that's Five Star, 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
We know what bugs you. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is now 12:35 on this Tuesday afternoon. This portion of the program is brought to you by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where they're getting ready for some very big events. They've got the Tour of the Gila. That's New Mexico's international 5-day stage race. And, of course, all that's happening in a glorious mountain setting. That's April 29th through May 3rd. Then coming up on Memorial Day weekend, a big event. It's the 20th annual Silver City Blues Festival. If you are into blues, that's the place you want to be. 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. Taj Mahal, a legendary blues guy, will be headlining the 20th annual Blues Festival. You can find out about all the things to do and places to stay, like Georgetown Cabins, at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now State Senator David Bradley. David Bradley with me in studio. How are you, Senator?
Very good. Thank you, Bill.
Senator Bradley representing District Number 10 here in the Tucson area. And, of course, he is a Democrat. Highs and lows of this legislative session. Let's begin with what do you see as some of the high points?
Well, I think it's some of it's what we didn't do, particularly because we had kind of a hectic ending there and ended up with some bills just dying on the vine as a function of the Senate adjourning before the House was finished. So some of those things of guns and public buildings, some other election laws, some education bills that were I was not in favor of were killed at the last minute. So that was, in an odd way, the negative was the highlight.
That was a weird way to end that session, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that the House leadership got themselves in a labyrinth of promises and couldn't escape the labyrinth. I think they, you know, they made deals with people and then they couldn't undo them, and as part of the problem. And then just timing-wise, they were just taking forever to move along, and the Senate president got frustrated and said, we're done.
So. Yeah, the Senate president kind of went at least an hour ahead of the House, really.
Almost two, yeah.
2 hours
yeah.
before.
Yeah, but he had waited 9 hours for them to move and kept telling them, you know, hurry up, let's get going.
Were part of an historic session, in the way that it was the earliest adjournment since the 1960s.
60s, right, 50 years, I believe, 58 yeah. or 48, something like that, yes.
May I ask, what was the hurry?
Well, that's the question that a lot of us were asking as to why we needed to do this so quickly. I think, unlike every other year that I've been there, and this was my 11th session, we usually had a counter budget. You know, the governor's budget would be presented, and the legislature would then present some type of a counter. That year, this year, that basically did not happen. All we did was tweak the governor's budget a little bit, and so that saved a lot of time in terms of the legislature hammering through its own work. And by legislature, I mean the leadership of the legislature. And so that was part of the reason why we were done so quickly, because the budget was done within, 7 weeks or something like that?
Well, that will be a question that I will probably, my first question when we have Senate President Andy Biggs on the show next Thursday about the hurry. And he seemed to be really wanting to end that thing very as quickly as possible, and certainly before the Easter holiday.
Right.
It seemed like the Easter getting out for 3 days became
a big
more
deal.
Important than the state's business.
Right.
It just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what his answer is to that. I think we ended up, you know, running through a lot of legislation very quickly. And, you know, as we always jokingly say, you're in danger when we're in session. And so being out of session maybe is a good thing on the one hand. But on the other hand, you know, ramming through a budget that quickly and other legislation without vetting those things thoroughly is dangerous.
The University of Arizona is part of District 10. It's part of
your
constituents.
Yes, sir.
And the university system took what appears to be, David Bradley, the biggest cut ever in state aid. And really, what's bothering a lot of higher education folks and folks that want to see a strong university system, there's really been no commitment, Senator Bradley, from the governor or many of the lawmakers to restore the funding after the economy improves.
Right. I think that's a very important thing to keep in mind. And the University of Arizona got hit very hard. I think numbers-wise, ASU got hit a little bit worse, but again, their numbers are much greater than University of Arizona. So, yeah, and this, among many other issues, I would argue, ultimately hits the poor the most, and it's just one of many examples of where we did that.
Yeah, and speaking of the poor, and you work with needy people all the time as part of your job at La Frontera.
Yes,
and at one time, Arizona had a five-year lifetime cap on what's called temporary assistance to needy families, which pays $277 a month for a family of three. That was previously cut to 2 years. Now, is it true it's down now to just 1 year?
Yes, effective in July of 2016, I believe. That's when it takes effect. But yeah, and we are the lowest in the nation in terms of that time frame. And the average that people stay on TANF is around 16 to 18 months, somewhere in that ballpark. And so, you know, we were doing a good job of keeping folks often and ideally, or hopefully getting them employed, getting them off the TANF benefits. But to cut it to this is just, almost, it's hard not to see it as mean-spirited.
Doug Ducey, our governor, still wants an inspector general despite the legislative rejection. Were you in favor of that?
No, he never made the case for its purpose. I think he had some problem in his own party with the attorney general not seeing that reason either. That's one of the reasons I believe that it did not get through the legislature. But my understanding, he's going to try to appoint someone in a quasi role that I suppose he has the authority to do.
Yeah, and that, I don't know if that would require some kind of a constitutional change, but I guess maybe he could do that.
Yeah, well, the question is whether he can have somebody doing investigations and those type of things, whether or not they would have subpoena power and that type of authority is another thing.
What happens now? Normally, we have seen special sessions for you and your colleagues, but there's nothing on the horizon.
Nothing immediate. I think we'll have to see how this budget plays out. Some of that will extend actually into the following year, but we may be able to see some indicators as we get through the summer to see whether or not many of the cuts that we've made are actually sustainable and that we're going to need some other resources.
So where are we going to get more revenue for this state?
Well, I think that's the discussion I'm hoping that the business community gets engaged with quickly. We're billions of dollars behind in road construction. If you just take that one item, I hear numbers in the $20 to $25 billion range that we have to have. You know, I put a bill in this year to increase the gasoline tax by 25 cents for 6 months. That would have raised about $350-400 million. There are a bunch of different options to look at. We just have to get realistic about it. Again, the state is growing and will continue to grow. Infrastructure is going to continue to be an issue, both in terms of roads, in terms of healthcare, in terms of schools, the maintenance of maintaining our university facilities, for instance. I mean, we're way behind. We have, in some cases, buildings are going to have to be condemned because we don't have the resources to fix them or keep them up. So, I mean, I'm hoping that the business community, you know, gets attached to this issue. I hear it from many of them, and even some of the chambers are beginning to talk about it. I think that's the only way we're going to get to the governor's attention, however.
Yeah, and lawmakers decided not to cancel any of the income tax cuts that were already that were scheduled to go through.
Right, the corporate income tax, yes. In particular, yes. Yeah, and we signed another bill that reduces will reduce the revenue of the state another $31 million, which is really not accounted for in the current budget. So I think there's the magical thinking that the economy is going to recover fast enough to make that difference up. We'll see. I don't know that that will happen.
And some had said that if the legislature actually had stayed in session a little longer, the actual revenue picture for the state would have changed for the better. Is that true?
Right. The April numbers.
The April numbers.
We wanted to escape before the April numbers came forward, I guess, was part of the, an issue. And again, we did it so rapidly and with so, as I mentioned earlier, we cut the poor from every direction, whether you look at the university funding, community colleges, JTEDs, the TANF funding, healthcare cuts, housing reductions, all those things get at the same people. It's the same people bearing the sacrifice. And if we're all in this together, then let's be all in this together. And those of us who could afford it, increasing the revenue of the state should participate in that way. Why keep coming after the poor? The poor don't go away when we make these cuts. They actually grow when we make these cuts. And I think it's very foolhardy.
All right. State Senator David Bradley, Democrat District 10, giving us his view on the recently concluded legislative session. Senator Bradley, thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
All right. 12:45 on the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Speaking of an area that needs some more money, we're going to be talking about our national parks with Kevin Dahl. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
I can't believe we just saved $75,000 on our new dream home site. We discovered Rancho Soldados, the new custom home gated community with spectacular home sites located on Old Soldiers Trail. They're offering only 12 $75,000 discount lots, and we got one. Only six more are left. You have to see the custom homes already completed in Rancho Soldados to envision what's possible for your dream home.
On Tanque Verde, East Old Soldiers Trail, 207-4188. Represented by Long Realty.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Mm-hmm.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday on the Buckmaster Show, a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick. Also, we talk about the Banner Health merger with the University of Arizona. Buckmaster, noon to 1 each weekday on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, and anywhere in the world for live streaming, podcast, show archive at buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is 12:50 in Tucson, Arizona. We are coming to you from the studios of KVOI, The Voice, AM 1030, and we're live streaming the show at kvoi.com and at buckmastershow.com. Well, be prepared to pay a bit more if you're headed to some of our national parks and recreation areas this summer. After a six-year moratorium, the federal government is increasing the price of admission at some of its public lands and raising the fees charged for camping, boating, cave tours, and other activities. The National Park Service says the money expected to be raised is just a fraction of the $11.5 billion, that's billion with a B, needed to repair and maintain roads, trails, and park buildings. Let's go now on the live line to San Francisco and Kevin Dahl. Kevin is the Senior Program Manager for the National Parks Conservation Association. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. What do you make of this increase? It's kind of a drop in the bucket, isn't it?
It is a drop in the bucket, and it's still quite a bargain for people visiting the parks. But we've been underfunding the parks for quite a bit, especially with the Budget Control Act in 2011 that required an across-the-board cuts on all federal agencies. The Park Service hasn't recovered from that. We've brought in new parks. We've had new activities at parks, but we don't have any extra money for them. To the tune of, they've lost 11% of their budget since 2011, and that's pretty bad, because we lose programs, we lose park rangers doing interpretation, we lose safety features, but the big bite is that we're not making any headway on the backlog of maintenance, which over time just gets bigger and becomes a worse problem.
Kevin, is it true that only about a third of the 400-plus properties within the National Park Service in this country actually even charge an admission fee?
That's correct. Saguaro National Park, our local park, does charge a fee, but there's many of the smaller facilities where you don't have to pay a fee to enter those parks.
If each park had charged a fee, would that put a dent in our maintenance problems?
Well, if you ask a park superintendent or any manager, they'll say they very much appreciate that money, because they use it mostly for programs in that park. They have to share with the parks that don't charge fees. But it really is a drop in the bucket. And frankly, our park budget in total, though it sounds grand when you say it's $3 billion a year, is a drop in the bucket of the federal budget. You know, it's the equivalent of building another single stealth bomber. To put it in some perspective. And these are America's best idea. These are our most important places, where not only do they celebrate the natural landscape like the saguaros near Tucson and the Grand Canyon, but also our important history and heritage. You know, we're talking about the Statue of Liberty, the Washington Mall, places where America needs to remember our heritage and our history. So it's penny wise, perhaps, but pound foolish to try to make any headway on any sort of budget deficit with this relatively small program that's so important to Americans. Americans across the board, Republican, Democrats, Independents, believe in fully funding our parks, according to surveys that have been done, to the tune of 90%. There's very few programs that the federal government does that has enjoys that much support.
Even though you are in San Francisco for a conference, you are based in Tucson. You are the Arizona Senior Project or Program Manager for the National Parks Conservation Association. How are we doing with our national parks in Arizona? And we'll begin with the Grand Canyon.
Well, it's there, and people should visit it if they haven't. I'm always surprised how many Arizonans have not visited the Grand Canyon. But if you read any sort of national media, you know that there are some projects that propose a threat to the park. There's plans for developments on the edge of it, including one with an aerial tramway to the bottom. It's affected by air pollution from nearby power plants. There's still uranium mines going into operation nearby that affect the watershed. There's invasive species. There's hybrid buffalo cattle that have broken into the park that threaten some real special and fragile springs. So the superintendent of Grand Canyon, I heard him one time say, people are surprised that I spend most of my time protecting an area that most people think is already protected.
Yeah, and I know we had Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick on our show on Friday, and she's introduced legislation that would, in effect, expand, I believe, the boundaries of the national park at the Grand Canyon.
Well, not exactly that. It would give special status to Forest Service lands and BLM lands that surround the park, the watershed, that would bring extra protection to the park that's the center of that landscape. Unfortunately, there's a lot of opposition to that by industries that use Forest Service lands and BLM lands. So, frankly, I don't think that's very likely to pass, at least not in this Congress.
The maintenance at the Grand Canyon has now reached, in order to bring it up to where it should be, I believe the last figure I saw was $330 million.
Yeah, that's more than half of the maintenance of all the parks in Arizona, and there's 25 units. They have a problem there. There's a pipeline that supplies all the water to the south rim from a big spring on the north rim that's needs to be replaced. You know, they're patching it up to 15 times a year, and just patching a pipeline over and over again when it's decades and decades old, it's not the best thing to do. So they need that water infrastructure because, you know, 4.7 million people visited the Grand Canyon, most of them at the South Rim last year.
You know, I want to ask you kind of a philosophical question about our parks with the young people who rely so much on a video, a stimulus to look at. Some of the kids feel, why do I need to go to a park? I can see a video of it. I really wonder about the future of our national parks. Has attendance been going up for the park system, or where are we on that?
Attendance is coming back up. During the financial crisis of a few years ago, people kind of didn't go many places, and attendance is going up at all the parks in Arizona. But you ask an interesting question about the future of the parks. We're celebrating this next year the first 100 years of the park, and there's lots of people thinking about what do the next 100 years look like, and how can they maintain their relevancy to people who didn't experience, like you and I might have, summer vacations in the back of a station wagon driving around the West seeing these fascinating sights, but instead have seen it in high definition on their television screens or looked at it on their phones. You know, we live in a different world, and the Park Service is starting to think about how they make it more accessible to folks. Debates are being held on, do we need Wi-Fi in the park so that people visiting can have that resource and help and use that to interpret the wildlife, the animals, the natural and cultural resources they're visiting. I think the parks will always be relevant. They're very special places. You can't get that experience. You can't experience the night sky by looking into your computer. You can't experience the silence of the Grand Canyon or your first sight of an elk or a bighorn sheep. People rejuvenate themselves by going outside, and I think it's hardwired into us as animals, as human animals, to experience that. And getting back in touch with that makes us healthier and happier.
And it's a good buy. My goodness, families can buy an $80 annual pass that allows them to go to as many of those 400 national parks and monuments as they desire, and the price is going to remain the same. And by comparison, the cost of going to Disneyland for a day is a minimum of $99 for one person age 10 and over. So it's a darn good buy, right, Kevin Dahl?
You make a great point. I think that we need to hire you as a spokesperson for my organization, because you're exactly right. It's a fantastic buy. And what's wonderful is that we own these together. These are our parks, when the United States started that was a unique idea. It wasn't owned by the king or the government or by a rich family. These are ours. So if your listeners haven't been to a park yet, Saguaro, it would be a great park to visit, or some of the other ones in southern Arizona. And if you can't afford the fee, there are special days when the parks are open free, and that's coming up this week for National Parks Week. So, check with parks. There are many days where you can go in for free as well.
Kevin Dahl, thank you very much, from the National Parks Conservation Association. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Bill.
Kevin Dahl with us. Shout out to Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. Thank you, Mike, for your sponsorship of the Buckmaster Show. I've been over there, seen that operation. It is a dandy. It's a great place to take your foreign and domestic automobile. PerfectionAutoWorks.com, convenient Midtown location on North Beverly. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Ed Alexander and me back with you tomorrow at 12:04. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.